Hello and welcome to a Microsoft IT Showcase discussion around how Microsoft internally manages enterprise discovery in search, how we help our employees find content and the people they need to do their jobs. With me today, I've got Sam and Renee, and we'll introduce ourselves in just a moment. Myself, I am your host, David Johnson. I am a program manager architect in Microsoft IT, accountable to how Microsoft internally builds and manages solutions on top of SharePoint and Office 365. Like many of you, we're an IT shop that we represent an IT shop that has to manage the business of our employees, making our partners internally successful. We're not in sales, we're not in marketing. I don't represent the product group. I represent how we internally build our things. And we like to share that through Microsoft IT Showcase. We're very happy to make sure that we share our learnings and lessons with you. So hopefully you can benefit from what we did internally as well. So let me actually, before I introduce my co-host here, let's talk about the Bing Pulse. We want to make sure that we understand a little bit about you, that you share whether you're on-prem or hybrid and what kind of content you're crawling today. We really want to learn from that. We also want to make sure we hear your questions. This is meant to be an interactive session. Please submit your questions via Skype. We're absolutely happy to hear them, and we'll ask them as we go through this conversation today. Renee, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Rene Sanchez. I'm a program manager in the Discovery and Collaboration team in Microsoft IT. I've been the search administrator for the past 8 years, and I've been working in different type of projects related to search, from backend projects to more frontend projects, helping and working closely with the SharePoint product group on releasing new features, especially now that we're in Office 365, and also learning more about our users, running user studies, user research, to understand what are the needs of the internal employees of Microsoft regarding finding.
Great. Hi, everyone. My name is Sam Crutzen. I'm a program manager here in Microsoft IT, and I've been with Microsoft since 2001 in various capacities, most of them working on search and search-related technologies. My current responsibilities include search, also the user profile, taxonomy, Delve and Office Graph related experiences, and parts of publishing. Really here today to talk about the Delve experiences. I'm really excited to share those with you. So with that, back to David.
So today we're going to talk about how we internally think about search, the scenarios we cover of search, we kind of inside story around how we do search, how we deal with Delve, what is Delve internally, how enterprise portals use search. And we'll make sure we're talking about your questions along the way. The other big thing I think we want to make sure we're covering is also hybrid. As an enterprise customer, we understand that you're not going to be all in cloud. It's taken us several years to get to cloud. We are at Microsoft 97% in cloud with SharePoint. That said, we're still in a hybrid state, and we want to make sure we share more about that. So let's go on and to talk about a little bit about what our scenarios are then. So from a scenario perspective, we're really focused on a few key things. Helping employees connect to the information you're looking for, whether it's the people that you need to do your job, the people that I'm looking for, the content that I'm simply trying to find. Hey, you know what? Renee shared this deck with me a few weeks ago. Where was it again? Hey, I need to find authoritative content from the company. What's the latest sales deck on a given topic? What's the sales for this industry? What's the engineering specification on a given subject? Help me find that more authoritative content, but also let me find the maybe not so authoritative content that my team is collaborating with. And so those are all kind of core scenarios that Renee and Sam are going to talk about how we accomplish that. So why don't we get started with the first step around how we actually start running search and what that means from a crawl perspective. What is in our search, Renee?
Yeah, so let's start with what are we currently crawling. So we are in a hybrid mode right now. We have about 85% of the content that is currently in our index is hosted in SharePoint Online in Office 365. The 15% remaining of the content in SharePoint in our search index is hosted on premises. So as you can see in this particular slide, if we start from the left, we have content still in SharePoint 2013 and running on SharePoint 2016. We have some self-service utility farms that are used for collaboration sites across Microsoft. We have some of them hosted here in North America. We have others as well in the regions in Europe and in Asia. We also still have a few custom portals. Divisional sites are a little bit more customized. They're still hosted in the on-premises world. Some of them are in the process of being migrated into SharePoint Online. Others are in a hybrid mode, where part of the content has already been migrated into SharePoint Online, while they're still trying to figure out the strategy to move the rest of the content into the cloud. We're also crawling some content that is not SharePoint. We have some teams here at Microsoft that store some of their content in other type of repositories like file shares and websites. That is also part of the index, especially because we also partner very closely with our legal team. There's the eDiscovery Center, which is another functionality in SharePoint. And we need to make sure that all the content that exists in the company is part of the index for legal reasons as well. In SharePoint Online, as I mentioned, we have 85% of the content that we index is currently hosted there. That includes thousands of site collections for collaboration sites, some divisional portals that have already been migrated. We also have all the OneDrive for Business content and all the personal sites that users have created. And at the bottom of this slide, you can see this is just a representation of the stack of shared services that we currently have. And we just want to make sure that we show you that we have two different sets of shared services. This includes the user profile, the taxonomy managed metadata service, and search. They are running in two different environments. We still have one set on premises, the other set in SharePoint Online, and hybrid is the bridge that brings these two services together to make sure that the configuration and the settings are completely in sync. And we're gonna be talking a little bit more about hybrid search, and Sam is gonna be talking more about what's happening on the taxonomy and managed metadata space. So what's happening behind the scenes for all the content that we're crawling that we just covered? We currently have three main production search farms. Two of those are currently hosted on premises. One is the one that was provisioned when we moved to SharePoint Online. The two farms on premises serve two different purposes. One, actually both are running in SharePoint 2016. And both crawl exactly the same amount of content, 50 million items, but they serve two different purposes. One of them, besides crawling all the content, is also serving all the queries. The search service for those sites that I was talking about are still on premises, and they still need search, the local search functionality to be working on an everyday basis. The other farm, it's a smaller in scale, and this is our hybrid farm. And this farm, their only role is to crawl content. It doesn't have an index hosted in SharePoint Online. All the content that gets fetched from all these different sources from premises gets pushed into SharePoint Online. So actually the SharePoint Online index, now it's our master index. So that's the index where we have all the content from SharePoint Online and from on-premises. One of the things when we were setting up the hybrid farm and we're working very closely with the product group, one scenario that we also validated and that might be interesting for all of you to know is that you can have more than one hybrid farm on premises pushing content into the same SharePoint Online index. In our case, we acquired one company that had its own SharePoint Office 365 dedicated environment. And as part of the integration with Microsoft, we wanted to make sure that all employees had a single place to go and look for content, whether it was legacy content or the content that Microsoft had already created for them. So what we did is we just created another instance, another hybrid farm that was hosted in this other SharePoint environment. And it was pushing all the content again to our multi-tenant SharePoint Online farm. So that's one interesting scenario as well that it could be helpful for some of you, or just good to know that you can have more than one instance pushing into a single SharePoint Online index. So in total in our index right now, we have a total of 355 million items. So it is a big index. I know everyone has different type of sources that need to be crawled, but on our side, we're mainly crawling just SharePoint content, file shares, and websites, as we mentioned in the previous slide.
Great.
So let's talk a little bit about the search experiences. I'm gonna go through two of these experiences, and then Sam is gonna continue talking a little bit more about some of the Delve and SharePoint Home experiences. So search is everywhere in our SharePoint environments, as you probably know, from searching on your collaboration site to searching on your OneDrive for Business site. But there are other scenarios or key experiences that we run in inside Microsoft. One of them is the enterprise search experience, and this is the main portal where any Microsoft employee, no matter where they are in the world, can go and search for the content that is part of our index. And that basically includes any of the content that has been crawled by us. And this is where security trimming comes into place. They're going to be able to see what they have permissions to see. Then we have experiences like Dell, which is an Office 365 experience that Tam is going to be talking a little bit more about. This is a search-driven experience. It's consuming from the same index, but it takes advantage of the Office Graph so that the way in how the results are presented are more personalized, more tailored to you and who you work with. We also have created experiences working very closely with different divisional portals and organizations internally at Microsoft, like the legal team, the HR team, to create richer search experiences for them. And lastly, we're also gonna be talking about the SharePoint Home experience, which is a new, also search-driven experience in Office 365. And Sam is also gonna be talking about that in a few minutes. So let's talk about the enterprise search portal experience. And here we're gonna switch to our demo. To guide you to what we've done for the employees who want to find content internally. So we've created this experience. This is the entry point for our search experience. There are two actually entry points, one from the corporate news portal, but we also wanted to create this experience where it's all about search. And we've been running a lot of studies with our internal users, finding out what's going to provide value to them into an entry point for search. So that's why you can see we're showing what are some of the popular searches. It is also a place where you can find some of the content that has been modified by you, et cetera. So this is an experience that we continue to experiment on, we continue to enhance, and we're also working with the product group as to ways in how we can use this as a platform for experimenting with other experiences. So why don't we go and run a query here for MS Library. And MS Library is one of our popular queries, and it is the name of one of our divisional portals that basically has information about books and training material that it's available for Microsoft employees. So this is the results page of our enterprise search portal. As you can see, it's pretty much out of the box. The only thing that we've done is we've configured, we changed the look and feel of this page a little bit, and we've moved the verticals, as you can see, on top of the search box, internet, people, Yammer. These on the out-of-the-box experience are below the search box. We move them on the top based on user feedback. But pretty much everything else is out of the box. You can see the first two results that have a check mark, those are called best bets or promoted results. And this is content that a couple of people in our team, they work closely with us. They take a look at the popular queries. They take a look at the trends, what's trending in the company, and they help us to promote content that IT feels is authoritative, content that users need to find be the first result when they're running their queries. So we have about 1,000 best bets or promoted results for different keywords. Below that, you can see just the organic results. But one thing to note there is the content that is shown here, it's content from either coming from on-premises and SharePoint Online. It's completely integrated. And if you start using the filters or the refiners at the left, it's going to filter both on-premises and SharePoint Online content. So this is actually the beauty of a hybrid experience. All the configuration happens behind the scene, but for the end user, for the regular search user, is that they can go to a single place and look for the content, no matter where it is actually hosted in the background. We did a few tweaks there. We've been making changes to display templates. So what you see there for some of the on-premises content, we added that particular message saying that you require a core internet connection in order to access this content. Because this experience is, it's since the search page is hosted in Office 365, anyone can access it. Anyone can access it from any device, anywhere. And we just want to make sure that they know that some of this content is going to require you to have an active coordinate connection in order to be able to look into that. That doesn't mean that they don't have permissions. They do have permissions, but it's only the access part. The rest, as Sam, if you can scroll over there, hover cards, that's also out of the box. It's another way for you to provide previews of some of the content. The Office content has previews that's also out of the box. And you can customize the metadata that you want to display there, besides author. If you're using like a custom schema, that's something else that you can create. The two custom things that we've added over here are on the at the bottom of the page. One is a form to submit or request best bets to our team. And it's just a way in how we wanted to make sure that they don't have to go and figure out what's the email or what's the Yammer group where I can contact or reach out to our team. And we just want to make it easier for users to be providing that information, because besides us doing the analysis, this is also very user-driven. So we take into consideration suggestions from users, and our team reviews and makes sure that it meets the criteria for us promoting content to be authoritative. And then we also have a feedback button. And this is one of the ways in how we collect feedback for the enterprise search users. This happens more on a day-to-day. They can submit whether they were happy or not happy with the results that they got. It captured what was the query that the user ran. We have other methods as well for collecting feedback. I talked a little bit, I made a comment about us running user studies and running user research. So that's something that we've been investing more on. And just to understand what are some of those experiments that we can continue running and some features that we can enhance, and providing that feedback as well back to the product group. We also run two surveys every year. And these are just asking our user base, how do you feel about this service? Are you satisfied? And what's your level of satisfaction? So those are like the three main different ways of methods that we follow to collect feedback besides what you see here on the page.
Great.
So let's run quickly just one more query.
Sorry.
If we have a little bit of time. The only other thing that I just wanted to point out, Infopedia. So Infopedia is the name of our sales and marketing portal. And the only thing that I wanted to bring here to your attention is what you see here, training for Infopedia and app results for Infopedia. So these are result blocks, and this is also an out-of-the-box functionality. It was introduced in SharePoint 2013. And what we're doing here, so a few months ago, we had a lot of verticals in our page. So we have a vertical for videos, a vertical or a different search tab for training. And what we discovered is people were not going and visiting. I think you remember that that was the case. So we were hearing on our feedback, I want to find training, and I cannot find any of the training or any of the videos. So what we did is we removed the verticals and we just created these result blocks into the search experience. So here are two examples. We applied different display templates to display metadata that is related to this type of content, because it's not only just title, description, and URL. There are things that we want to show differently for video or for apps.
And Renee, do the search blocks show up all the time, or are they only on certain queries?
They only show on certain queries. We've done, as part of the same team that does the analysis for the best bets, we also, for example, on video, we talk with the guys on the video portal to understand what are the most popular queries on their side. But we also do some analysis on our own queries, and we understand what are going to be the most popular queries that people are going to be searching video for, and we promote the videos in those cases. That's just one example of the box.
And just because you mentioned the analysis part, I'll just drop in here. How we did the analysis is we deployed a web metric solution. So we're capturing, what terms users are searching for, how many clicks, how deep they have to go, page one, page two, page three, and so on. So that way we really understand the user experience for our users here at Microsoft. And it's that data that goes into part of our analysis on what to show and how to show it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I think we can move back to the presentation. And just to close on the enterprise search very briefly, some of the statistics on the usage side, we get about 7,000 queries per month on average. And about 60% of the company uses the enterprise search portals at least once every month. On the user satisfaction side, the NSAT for the last survey that happened in May of this year, the score is 134, which is 6 points up from the same point last year. And this has been an improvement based on the release of hybrid search, as well as some work that we've been doing with running experiments with part of the users.
That's great.
So on the divisional portal, so this is another type of experience. And these are portals like the sales and marketing portal, which is the one that you can see here in this slide. What these teams do is they take classification of their content and tagging their content very seriously. They work with our team to create schemas and to leverage a lot of our managed metadata service and our taxonomy to create categories. So when they're uploading content, they're tagging the content with this content is related to this particular product. This content is for this audience. This is the language of this content. Now, this schema has been standardized so that at the same, some of the elements that the sales and marketing team use is the same one used by the campus team, by legal, so that it's easier for these teams to create richer search experiences. And in this example, one of the ways in how using managed metadata helps the users of these portals is by creating better refiners. Using all these different categories and metadata to refine and to narrow their searches, to display additional metadata on the results, and to targeting some of this content to specific audiences.
And we have a question as well about this, and I think it's very related to what you just talked about, is what do you use for having better search results? Metadata behind the content or naming conventions for titles, descriptions, and enterprise keywords? And you just described, of course, the heavy use of metadata.
Yep.
But do we also do additional work like naming conventions on documents and titles and good authoring practices?
We provide some of, as part of engaging with this team. So our team works very closely when, for example, a team like sales and marketing are going to be creating their content. We also provide guidance on you need to have good titles, consistent titles to what the content is about, making sure that the content is tagged. So as David mentioned, we have metadata behind that. And that's also a service that we offer when a lot of people just ask us to, hey, I want to promote my site, and we figure out as part of Best Bets, and we find out that, well, the content is actually in the index, and it could be better if you had better titles, if you had better description and authors. So we work with those teams to make sure that they improve the quality of their content to be able to rely just in the out-of-the-box relevance of search rather than us creating additional best bets that are really not going to be very reflective of an authoritative site.
And do we require tagging everywhere, or do we kind of say in some cases we request or require tagging, in other cases we don't?
I would say that it kind of depends. So do we require any naming conventions, or do we require tagging on a global basis, every site collection across our enterprise? The answer to that is no. We have some best practices, and we share some ways that users can improve the findability of their content, but we do not require it. Now, that said, as Renee was mentioning, on some of our divisional portals, like what we're showing here is one of our sales-related portals, for them, we absolutely work with them to make sure that it's part of their work process, that they're using great titles, that they're using great tagging and whatnot. And really, we'll talk about the benefits of taxonomy here in a minute, but really those are the sorts of things and the places that we tend to really encourage use of good tagging and naming practices.
Mm-hmm. So effectively, the distinction between managed content that's highly curated and unmanaged content that's more for team.
Exactly. If it's just a small team doing a little collaboration on a PowerPoint deck and getting ready for a conference, there's no need for IT to come in with a heavy hand and tell them how to name their document, because that's mm-hmm. not really what they're trying to do here. But in a divisional portal, they're trying to get their content found, and it's very important in that scenario.
Yeah.
Good question. Mm-hmm. Great. Anything else on this?
No. Let's move on. Do you want to?
Yeah. So actually, that's kind of a good segue into the next slide. Really, we're going to start talking a little bit more about taxonomy and the way it's benefited. So here's another portal internally, and you can see here on the left side. We're not going to do a demo for this one because we just don't have the time. But you can see on the left side how the use of taxonomy can be really applied to help users find content. When you have taxonomy and tags applied to your content on upload, you give some very powerful ways for the user to refine and find the content they're looking for. Now you can see in this particular screenshot, that users have the ability to refine by product, by community, by priority and what have you. It really gives the user a very powerful way to find their content. And one of the reasons that, mm-hmm. at least for a divisional portal, a publishing portal scenario, taxonomy is very, very important. Really, what is the purpose of taxonomy? Well, number one, it's better discovery. By consuming from an enterprise taxonomy instance, we're enforcing the reuse of the same tag and the same terminology everywhere. So when team one calls it Windows Server, team two doesn't call it Win Server. And even if they do, the second benefit there is that synonyms will help that content be found. So, for example, our current Windows release is called Redstone. A search for Redstone would also find content for the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition that's about to get released. It's a better user experience. You saw a moment ago on the campus portal how you can use filters to help users find their way quickly to the content that they're really looking for. Basically, you can apply, use those tags to bring certain categories and integration across different content types and folders. It's a better way to manage your content. You can go through and find content across different repositories that have a similar theme. And really, in the end, although it's a little bit of upfront work to do the extra tagging, it ultimately makes it more efficient in terms of managing your content. And ultimately, and this is really what the purpose is, for your users to consume that content. So here's a slide that I've been excited about all morning. It's not often that IT gets to break some news, but here we are, we're breaking some news. You're hearing it here first. Microsoft IT, we're right now testing a version of hybrid taxonomy. Basically, what this is going to do, it's going to allow us to share a common enterprise taxonomy, an MMS enterprise term store, across both your cloud and your on-prem world. Now, I'll be honest, this is something we've actually been doing for a while, but we had to run and maintain and manage that code ourselves. Further, in the old world, the on-prem instance was our master repository. Well, starting here in soon, because we aren't supposed to talk about exact dates yet, but coming soon for your own consumption is the ability to have an enterprise MMS instance up in the cloud be replicated down to your on-prem SharePoint instances. Replication can be granular. So if you want to replicate just certain parts of your taxonomy, you can do that. Replication can be done to multiple instances of SharePoint. So for example, if you're an enterprise like us who has both on-prem and extranet resources, you could replicate your taxonomy to both on-prem taxonomy instances. So this is a really powerful way to ensure that your taxonomy is consistent across your enterprise, that things can be found across your enterprise, and something really I think all of us can look forward to, and I'll just dismiss that link, that Skype message. So really, I just wanted to take 10 seconds to describe the image you're seeing here on the right of your screen. Really, this is kind of what our topology is looking like for this replication going forward. Now, we have one tool that we're going to continue to build ourselves. It's labeled here external taxonomy, where we do pull in a subset of our terms from the Microsoft.com taxonomy instance. You know, they've done some management there, and it just makes sense to reuse those and pull those into our master store, which is up in Office 365. Now, the new one is the purple tool. That's the one that's going to get released by the product group soon, and that's going to allow you to sync down your terms to one or more on-premises MMS instances. So very exciting. We don't get to break news a lot, but there you have it.
And this really does help, from our perspective, complete the hybrid story, correct? Because so far we've had search, and we've been really excited about hybrid search.
Yep.
Now we have hybrid taxonomy in the mix as well.
Exactly. Yep. It's very exciting.
So before we get into Delve, one quick question that I think actually kind of fits here, because one of the things people think about with Delve is they ask about security. And I think the question here is a security question. So how about the security setup of your enterprise search? And I'm not sure if the question is, what is the security of our search, or how do we manage security within the search? So if you want to clarify that question, happy to hear more refinement around what you're looking for from us. But after, why don't you talk about the security setup of search?
I mean, on the search portal per se, that's available to all Microsoft employees. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, when we were talking about the portal, this portal is basically the place where you can go and search whatever. It's part of the index, but as part of all the crawling, we are respecting all the permissions and all the security that has been given to the actual content. So if I go and I run a query, I'm going to get a very different result set than if Sam or David were running exactly the same query. And that same concept of security trimming is respect on all the other search experiences that we've been talking about. On divisional portals is the same. In Delve is exactly the same. You're only going to be able to see what you have permissions to access.
Exactly. I have nothing to add there. The way to make sure that your content is secure is to permission it correctly. And you know that makes sure, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, can content be shared improperly through email, through IM? Absolutely. So search is just one way for people to discover content that they shouldn't have access to. Mm-hmm. So the problem really isn't search or any search-driven experience, mm-hmm. but rather secure that content correctly. It's the one right way to do it.
Yeah.
So I hope we addressed the user's question.
Yeah, and if not, hopefully just give us some more feedback what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Great. Any other?
No.
Great. Okay. So let's talk about Delve. So this is something that I'm super duper excited about. So Delve started almost 2 years ago now. It was launched in September of 2014. It gave users a new way to discover information across the enterprise. So it gave you a way to discover information. Now, what we're going to talk a little bit more about today is how it helps you find information about people, how to find content through people, how to re-find content through people. And I'll explain what I mean by that here in just a moment, while also surfacing documents stored across multiple repositories, such as SharePoint, Yammer, and even email. So let's jump in and have a look at that. So I'm going to switch back to a window here. So first off, let's just have a quick look at the Delve experience that a lot of us have come to know and like, hopefully. Actually, let me take 10 seconds first to explain an important concept. So you're going to hear me talk about a user's network. Now, in this context, when I use network, it's comprised of two things. The network is comprised, first of all, of explicit people in my network. So for example, David and Renee and myself all report to the same manager. We're in the same organization, and so we're explicit colleagues, and that puts them in my network. In addition, there's more of an implicit network. These are the people that I actually work with, product group partners, partners in other teams that aren't in the same organization. Every time I have a collaboration activity with them, I edit a document with them, I read a document that they read, and so on. These send signals into Office Graph, and those users are in my network. So I just wanted to lay that foundation because that'll kind of explain a lot of what we're going to talk about here. So first of all, what we're looking at here is the baseline Delve experience. This is the one that's been out for a couple of years, so I won't talk too much to it, except to say, here's what things are going on in my network around me. You can see For example, content from Renee and David are items number one and number two. You know, this is content that they've edited, that they've modified, and in some cases that they've read. This shows content from across multiple repositories. In some cases, you'll see, actually, I don't have any on the screen right now. These are all coming from SharePoint. But you know, if you know, I had uploaded a document or Renee had uploaded a document to Yammer, that content would show up here. In addition, just in quick, I can favorite content. So if I want to be able to follow content and get back to it later, the refine scenario, and you'll hear me talk about that again and again for the next 2 minutes or so, is it gives me a way to go back and find that content again. Similarly, the boards feature, if you click on this little icon that looks like, you know, little books next to each other, you can add a board. So for example, if I want to find and refine all the content about Renee and David, and we'll just say Renee in this case, just to make it easy because I'm on camera, then you can see over here in the boards in the left navigation, Renee has come up. And by clicking on it, it will bring that content back up, helping me find and refine that content again and again. Now, in the real world, maybe this is a project we're working on. Maybe this is a code name. Maybe this is a customer or what have you, maybe a customer number. Everyone's scenario will be different, but the key here is being able to find your way back to that content again. So now let's switch to a different window. This is the new Delve profile experience. So what are we seeing here on this page? You know, basically, you know, parts of this come from the old MySite profile. So for those of you who have been around a number of years, you'll recall that we had the Delve public profile site, and it showed information about how to contact a user, how to find a user, you know, phone number, email, and so on. But the new stuff is what I really want to draw your attention to. Over here on the top right side of your screen, you'll see the Get Back to Recent Documents. Now, it's important to notice that I am logged in currently as Renee. And so this is showing the things that he has worked on most recently. So for example, if David had sent him a request to edit a PowerPoint or maybe one of these top documents here, then he would, his activity, that read or that edit operation, would make that content show up here at the top. So the scenario I like to use this for is, boy, I remember David sent me that link a couple weeks ago and I made some edits, but now I can't find my way back to that deck. Happens all the time. I don't know about you guys, but it happens for me all the time. Delve solves that. So you can see it if it's one of the top four here, great. Otherwise, you can go into the see all and that'll help you find your way back to that content that you recently edited. So that's sort of the Delve user profile from the first person experience. Let's look at it from another point of view. The second piece is, if you go into this new section, this is an experience that's just rolling out to customers now, and we're allowed to show it here, is the ability to filter your content based on where it's coming from. So the default view is all content here, you can see. But for example, you can filter it down to just attachments that came to me in email recently, or down to just documents. Or finally, you know, filter down by file type. So again, I remember that David sent me a PowerPoint and I want to go back and find that deck that I worked on with him. This is an easy way to re-find that content. So with that, let's jump ahead. The next thing I'd like to show you is the new Delve Windows 10 application. So at a first glance, you'll see that this looks pretty much the same as what I was just showing you, except this is running as a Windows 10 Universal Windows app. So what you see, you know, if we scroll down, you see the same sorts of abilities to find content. But what's really powerful about the Windows 10 app, now available in the Windows App Store for you to download to your own machine if you want to give it a try, is, first of all, the ability to mark content as new or modified. You know, so in this case, what all these new tags here on this content is showing me those things that have changed since the last time I ran the application. So kind of like in Outlook, when you get that unread mail folder, you know, this gives me a sense of when some content has changed. Further, if you look here in the left nav column here, for example, on Renee's picture, it has a one by his name. That shows since the last time I ran this application, Renee has made one change to content. And so if I click on his information here, it'll bring me back information. And sure enough, our planning OneNote for this very video session was edited recently. And it gives you a way to find out what Renee has going on in his world. Now, how do you use this? So the scenario is really down to this. Maybe Renee is in a different team and he's someone I work with only every couple of weeks. This gives me a way to kind of catch up, see what Renee is working on, perhaps before we have a meeting or maybe a working session. So that way I can kind of get caught up in advance on what he's doing. So that way our meeting, our discussion is that much more productive. I can follow up on some things, maybe some new things he's been working on and really have a productive discussion. So that's Delve. Let's make a quick transition to our next exciting experience, SharePoint Home. So like Delve, SharePoint Home is an Office Graph-driven experience. Now, instead of showing activity on documents, the SharePoint Home experience is showing you activity at a site level. So what you're seeing here on my screen currently are sites that are being visited frequently by myself and users in my network. So you can see a lot of different sites, you know, one about taxonomy, one about SharePoint experiences and SharePoint service governance. Not only that, you can see some activity within that site collection at a glance. So this is kind of a good way if you have, you know, maybe your organization has two or three different places where they store content, or you and a partner team have different places where you store content. It's a really good way to keep track of what's going on across your site collections and to follow up and be able to get to that content. Further, at the top here, you'll see this little star, which is a follow star. So that gives you a way to, you know, if this is, rather than having this list be dynamic, this gives you a way to tag that content and, you know, essentially create a bookmark to help you, you know, get back to that content again in the future. Now, I'll click on the calendar site for a second, just to show you how this works or how it can work. This follow star up in the top right corner, you click on that there. It's a good way to follow. And now that content, if we refresh the SharePoint home page for the cat calendar, your very most important content is now starred and shows up here in my following list. That's a silly example, but it kind of gives you an idea of one way that you can refine content, refine sites, especially if you're a big enterprise like Microsoft, where you have, you know, in our case, tens of thousands of sites worldwide that maybe you want to keep track of.
Well, how many sites do you access alone, for example?
Well, in my world, I probably have 40 or 50 different sites where I'm reasonably active. And so that's one way.
Yeah, I'll say the same for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on this page, I'll draw one last piece of attention. The suggested sites link, a set of links down here at the bottom. Again, these are sites that are being used actively by people in my network. You know, so if they're being used by people in my network, perhaps there's sites I would be interested as well. So this is a way to discover content, discover sites that might be important to helping me do my job, you know, gives you a chance to find those. While we're here, and since this is a search session, I want to show you one thing here. So if I go to the search box here on SharePoint Home and type in a query for SharePoint, you'll see that like our current SharePoint search experience, you get some autocomplete. But what's really exciting about this query box autocomplete is that, like the rest of the page, it's driven by Office Graph. So rather than just suggesting content based on simple autocompletion of a word or a phrase, instead it's showing me content first, which maybe is already in my network, worked on by people in my network, to make it easier to find and indeed go straight to that content without having to actually execute the query. If I execute the query, it'll bring back the SharePoint home search page, which is a slightly different experience than the enterprise search we were showing you a little bit earlier. But what I wanted to show you here is it's fast, it's clean, it's an additional way to help a user find and discover content. This page, I want to make clear, is driven by regular search relevance and is not driven by the Office Graph. Mm-hmm. And finally, let's go to one last Office Graph-driven experience. So I'm going to go to...
And as you do that,
go ahead.
One quick question, which is related to the last thing you just said, which is, what is the plan for Microsoft to show pages instead of sites and documents on Delve and SharePoint Home and SharePoint's new interface?
To show document, sorry, pages?
Show pages instead of sites and documents. Like, what if I want to see page activity, not just documents themselves or sites?
So I would say that for someone who wants to see, you know, that sort of site level and not document level search, that SharePoint Home is probably the experience that you're looking for. I am not aware of any plans to expose pages in the default Delve experience, but those are present in the SharePoint Home experience.
Yeah, and in fact, pages, correct me if I'm wrong, but pages will also show up in certain other experiences too. In fact, I've seen pages in Delve experience as well in many cases. So, and I know certainly new style publishing pages with a new paradigm that is being in development will show up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then the final search and discovery related experience I wanted to draw your attention to is the new Discover experience here within your OneDrive for Business site, your My site. You know, using the Office Graph, it'll bring back a list of documents, modified by people in your network and allow you to discover those and find those. So that's it. Do we have any other questions, David?
Before we get into Q&A, because I think we want to make sure we cover, get people's feedback. So as we're doing question and answer, please make sure we're getting your feedback about what you think about the session and so we can learn from it and get better over time. But continue asking questions as they come in here. So let me take a few others as we have. There was one question about the deck itself, and we'll talk. I believe we make the deck available in some form, correct me if I'm wrong, as part of this conversation. So we do make the deck available. So absolutely, the deck will be there. The other question I'm just going to ask here is, how do we deal with regional content, Renee? And content that's you talked earlier about our big search index and what we're crawling, and we have content in regions. How does regional content fit in that hybrid index on the cloud?
So, I mean, for on-premises, we just keep a single index. A few years ago, we used to have indexes in each of the regions. When we moved into FAST 2010, we integrated everything into a single index. And I think the power that FAST brought with the integration into SharePoint, it was just a powerful, just single index that is able to crawl the content without any issues. We haven't found any problems with the freshness, even if the repositories are actually hosted in the different regions. The search farm remains in North America. And I think it's also easier for it, and has been easier for our team as well, to manage those on-premises search indexes as well, as we just have to go to single place and run upgrades and everything. But in terms of freshness, performance, we haven't experienced any problems. And that was one of our biggest reasons for consolidating and putting everything into a single index. I don't know if there's anything else to.
Yeah, I was just going to touch on, you mentioned it, that the upgrade and the management of the number of servers went way down, the amount of management that we needed went way down. Mm-hmm. While users want to go one place to search, let's face it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you give them multiple avenues to get entry to your search, once they're there, they want to find everything they want in one place. And really having everything in a single index, that's been the single biggest win. First, when we were just on-prem, and that's the real beauty about hybrid search as well.
Yep. So I also want to make sure we cover our future plans too.
Please.
Yeah.
Yep. So I know Sam, you mentioned about the Office Graph and how the Office Graph is powering some of these experiences like SharePoint Home and Delve. And the Office Graph is actually their APIs. The APIs are exposed and you can utilize them. And that's one of the areas where we're really interested in to continue taking all the power and the beauty of the Office Graph into the existing experiences in enterprise search, but also working with these different like divisional portals that can take advantage of this and presenting this is relevant content trending around your team and creating all those experiences. So we're going to continue investing on that.
I'll just have a quick drop in. For those who are interested in exploring more about Office Graph, you can go to graph.io. That's the website. They've got sample code. Mm-hmm. They've got ways to try out using the Office Graph in a very simple way while you build your skills. And in fact, there are some pre-built solutions even for certain scenarios. And an example of one experiment that we're doing, our HR department, we are asked to provide feedback on people that we work with. Well, that sounds awfully a lot like my network, the people I work with. And so they're doing some experiments right now on pulling back that network from Office Graph to make them suggestions in the tool where we give employee feedback. So that's one example of an experiment that we're doing with Office Graph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as part of the user studies and the research that we've been doing internally, we've been taking feedback into how to continue improving relevance. And this is also work we're working very closely with the SharePoint product group. Because I don't think we're alone in some of the requirements and some of our needs that this can be taken to for improvements to other companies as well in SharePoint Online and Office 365. And we're also running UI experiments. We've created a treatment site where we redirect a specific percentage of users. And this could be from, let's try a different way to filter the results, let's move things around in the layout of the enterprise search portal, just to get feedback and to see if there's more engagement from users, especially from the areas where we continue hearing that this is not very discoverable, this is not very findable, and these are ways in how we can finding the sweet spot on how the search page should look like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And then finally, I'll just drop in too that we're looking at adding even more sources to crawl, to add that content to our index. This is in line with, number one, there are lots of new ways for people to collaborate even within the Microsoft stack, but also, it's our Microsoft's newer, nicer Microsoft that wants to play well with others. So, we're experimenting and exploring new ways to crawl content both inside and outside the Microsoft stack. And that's a lot of the work that we plan on doing here in the months to come. And maybe we'll have some news to share in a future session.
Yep. For example, we have our own IT service management solution, for example, that we want to crawl.
Right, exactly.
Okay, great. And we talk about some of those best practices. And by the way, if there are additional questions, we still have a few more minutes left before we close. And I'd love to hear any additional questions, if there are any, as we continue this best practices and go on to the final Q&A.
So we talked about during the demo of the authoritative content, the best bets, the promoted results. That's something that we think it's very important, because you want to make sure that there's going to be some specific content that you want people to discover, and that needs to be the first result to show up for some of those queries. So this is an important practice to keep in mind. To continue doing in your enterprise search. We talk about using the managed metadata service. Sam, you talked about all the good things that you can get out of using taxonomy, and how you can classify your content better, and how you can create richer, better experiences for users as well, and how you can standardize it and use it also across multiple sites.
Absolutely, and that kind of dovetails into the next one about getting a hybrid plan. Mm-hmm. The new hybrid ability of taxonomy is coming. So if you haven't already, now is a good time to start thinking about your hybrid plan, both for search and in the very near future for taxonomy.
Yep. We also, as IT, we have a role to continue evangelizing new experiences as new things like SharePoint Home or Delve things come along. It's our role to make sure that we create training material, that we work closely with the different people in different parts of Microsoft to make sure that everybody understands and knows and can take advantage of all this like new functionality that it's been there to make sure that users are more productive.
Basically driving final adoption within your own enterprise.
Yes.
Effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess in closing, that we're really trying to be a lot more agile. It's something that you hear across IT departments across the world, really. We're trying to move faster and fail faster and do new things with search, try things out. We've set up, we didn't talk much about it today, Renee mentioned it. We've set up a way to send some of our users to one place and users to another place. And then we use the metrics from those two experiments to decide which one to carry forward. So the idea here is experiment, try new things out. Don't be afraid to do it. There's a lot of ways you can make it customized and even better for your users.
And responding faster to some of the feedback or requests that we get from users, like before, it used to take 2, 3, 4 months in order for us to create a solution and put it out there. Now, since we're iterating every 2, every 3 weeks, we can put together a solution and fix things faster. So that has also been helping us a lot with the response that we've been getting from our community.
Great.
Okay. Well, I really hope that this session has been valuable, and Renee and Sam, I thank you for taking your time away and to share your knowledge with our audience here. We still have time for a couple more questions if you have any, but please make sure that you do give us that feedback around what we need to do better or how you appreciated this session. And if there are any final questions, please let us know. But thank you again, Renee and Sam.
Thank you.
So a couple other questions that we have we will cover here for this one. Actually, this is an interesting one. Sam, can you turn Delve off?
So that's kind of a bigger question. So the short version is, yes, a user can turn Delve off. Now, having said that, I'm not sure you'd want to. So, and here's why. Here's the pitch. Number one, when you turn off Delve, you're actually turning off all Office Graph experiences. So you would no longer be able to take full advantage of, you know, a lot of the things we just showed you around Delve and the Delve app and so on. Office Graph is really a big area of investment for Microsoft, and so you'd hate to miss out on that content. But more important, as I think about it, the real key here is it's the same for enterprise search in general, is, you know, it's often a knee-jerk reaction to want to turn off Delve because something you didn't mean to expose showed up in Delve. Well, really, the one right way to keep content from showing up in Delve or in Search is to secure it properly. You know, some people have accused me of not being able to talk without analogies. I'll use one here. You know, it's kind of like, you have a bank, and at night, all you do is you turn off the lights and make it pitch black in the bank to hopefully make it so that the robber can't steal your money. Well, unfortunately, if the robber knows where the money is, maybe they've come in when the lights are on, they know where it is, they know where to go, they're still going to be able to get to that money, in this case, your content. The one right way to make sure no one steals your money is to put it into a vault, put it under lock and key, make sure only the right people can get to the content. And really, the analogy here is lock down your content appropriately and you have nothing to worry from enterprise search and from Delve. So that would be my answer to that question.
Oh, great. Okay, well, very good. And I know we're just about out of time. So again, I want to thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And why don't we go on to the next slide on that one. And so IT Showcase has a lot of other webinars available and other content. We have background content on how we got to the cloud, on migration and governance, how we govern our environment. So we definitely are eager to kind of get feedback from you around whether we're providing the right content and how we manage IT broadly, whether it's SharePoint 365 or really any of our services. We're trying to make sure that we share the lessons learned with our customers. So again, I really appreciate everyone's time watching today, and hopefully this was valuable for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.